In 2006, recent Cal Arts graduate Pendleton Ward began working on a 7-minute short he pitched to an incubator series on the Nicktoons Network called Random Cartoons. In the short, titled Adventure Time, a boy named Pen and his magical dog Jake rescue Princess Bubblegum from the evil Ice King.
Citing My Neighbor Totoro, home movies, and Dr. Katz's Professional Therapist as inspiration, Ward wanted to blend magical and beautiful moments with grounded conversational dialogue. The short premiered on Nicktoons in January 2007 and went viral shortly thereafter.
While Ward worked by day as a storyboard artist on The Marvelous Misadventures of Flapjack, he continued working on Adventure Time. After it was pitched to and rejected by Nicktoons as a full series, Cartoon Network asked for a pilot. They hated it.
Starting from scratch, Ward and his crew storyboarded out what would be Adventure Time's first produced episode, The Enchiridion. On April 5th, 2010, Adventure Time premiered on the Cartoon Network to 2.5 million viewers.
270 episodes in, it's now a worldwide media phenomenon spawning a universe of merchandising, video games, comic books, a rumored movie, and a cameo on Futurama. And today we're going to figure out its best episode ever.
Worst episode ever.
Ah, blurg!
Oh, I'm in the game, yo.
Yeah, bitch! Magnets!
Good news, everyone!
We have to go back!
So say we all!
Oh my eyes!
All right.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to Best Episode Ever.
Hi,
that's Carmen.
That's me. I'm Carmen.
I'm Brett. We're joined today by Teresa Lee.
What's up?
Formerly of Cracked.com, now dead to us.
Mathematical.
Algebraic.
Yes.
Gonna have all the catchphrases today. She's wearing a BMO sweater for this, our Adventure Time episode.
It's got pockets.
BMO would have pockets. Like, you know, BMO wouldn't just have pockets. They would have, like pockets that go so deep and could, like, hold a car. Because BMO's amazing.
Yeah, I know. BMO is my favorite character. Let's not talk about that yet. So we're talking about Adventure Time today. We're going to figure out the best episode ever of Adventure Time. But first, Teresa, tell us what Adventure Time means to you.
Yeah, because we know you're a fan.
Like, I'm a huge fan. Yeah, this is not my only Adventure Time shirt. Well, actually, it's funny because I got into the show because I took a children's TV writing class in college. And it was like, I think in the first or second season, maybe the first season of Adventure Time. So it had just sort of come out and my teacher was like, this is a cool one. Let's, as a class, we agreed on a few shows to spec. So people could choose from that. So that was one of them.
What a gift.
That's how I started watching it, because for homework, you have to watch them all. And I was like, this is so great. I love this show. And then after that, I kept watching it. And the show gets much more, like, visceral, I think, or cerebral as it goes. And it's just like, I feel like it's like a show that grows with you as an adult, which I know is a kid's show, but it's just like.
I'm wondering, was that addressed at all, like, with a show like Adventure Time that is so. There's two levels to it. Like, kids can watch it and enjoy the top level of it, but it's also so made for adult stoners as well. Like, is there – and same way with, like, lots of Pixar movies and like, animated movies that usually hit with, like, more of a broader crowd than just the kids. There's, like – there's definitely, like, a deeper adult layer to either the humor or the emotion. Was that, like, addressed by the professor at all? Like, hey –
Yeah, I mean, the one that I did, which maybe we'll read a bit of later.
Oh, we will.
Definitely has some weird stuff in it. So but that's it. That is why I love the show. I think it really deals with a lot of themes of, like, just, like, hard themes that adults can't even handle. Like, you know, heartbreak and loss and just death is a big theme that comes up a lot. Even the fact that it's set in a post-apocalyptic world where it's sort of like Finn's supposed – well, you know, he was the last human. Now we know he's not, but sort of the idea of, like, what happens when everything gets destroyed and juxtaposed with, like, sweet candy. And
It's a great apocalypse story because it's like, well, what if the apocalypse doesn't look like the Book of Eli or like Mad Max? What if it looks like a children's book?
Yeah, it's cool.
But you're right, like, it deals with, like, those really heavy, dark adult issues we're going to talk about the whole series, so it's not ruining anything. If you're listening to this, spoiler alert, I guess. But when it dealt with, like, the Ice King revealing that he's Simon and that he and Marceline have this, like, history and that he doesn't remember, to me was like, oh my God, this is like, if you ever deal with somebody with Alzheimer's, this is like a perfect mapping situation. And it just, like, is a way for, like, introducing that concept to children in a way that isn't like people might forget you. Like it's just like, but it's sad and it's dark, but it's also like loving and sweet.
Like I don't feel like they push any lessons down people's throats. And sometimes the lines are so like one off where you're like, whoa, that really gets to me. But it's not trying to be like, this is the episode where we teach you this. It's just like peppered throughout.
Teresa, what do you think makes for a great episode of Adventure Time? Like what is the chemistry of it? What are the building blocks?
I really like really push the emotional aspect of the show. And I know like everyone watches it for different reasons. Like you said, some people just like to get high and watch weird shit on weird things happening. But for me, I think it's like all the episodes have a really strong emotional theme and does something with relationships and the characters.
So we've had Adventure Time. Should we have awards time?
I think it's time to give out some random awards.
And let's play our awards music. Oh, yeah. It's the silly award time.
Yes, we made up these awards based off of this show.
Ooh, that's great music.
Thank you. I wrote it myself. I played
good work.
Instruments.
It's really impressive. It's really impressive.
Thank you.
But we made these all up based on the elements of Adventure Time that are so prevalent and need awards.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you want to start us off, Carmen?
All right, let's start it off with, I think, a really important award that I find in a lot of the series that we watch. The yummiest episode, because they make a lot of food in Adventure Time. If you hadn't noticed, there are some magical foods and also normal foods, and they all look delicious. Teresa, do you have a favorite?
My yummiest episode. Oh, they all look so good. I was saying, earlier before we recorded, I was saying I think the yummiest princess is Breakfast Princess.
Oh, yeah.
I would just want to eat her.
She looks, like, delicious.
She looks like a great sandwich. yeah. So there was one, I think, the Breakfast Princess Convention. I don't remember if that's the right name, but they all prank each other. And I think Marceline and PB, or Marceline and Flame Princess. Wow, they're getting confused in my mind. But they, no. PB and another princess, which I think might be...
Not Lumpy.
Someone's going to get mad at me because I don't... It's not Lumpy, but they decide to prank Breakfast Princess. And it's also a funny one because it kind of has a feeling of like, you know, a pageants or like places where a lot of girls get together and they're all like kind of fake nice, but then they're all kind of jealous of each other. Mm-hmm. So they start pranking each other.
Which happens. We prank each other.
I don't know if that's the yummiest one, but that's the one Breakfast Princess is most prominent in my mind. And she's definitely the yummiest princess to me. So
I think it doesn't have to be what they make necessarily. It just has to be the thing that makes you the hungriest.
Yeah, like when that you one see makes that me hungry.
Nice. Do you have one, Brett?
I want to talk about the first episode released of Adventure Time, Slumber Party Panic. There is like some sort of zombie uprising of deceased candy treats. And They're coming to eat all of the alive, sweet people, and Finn locks them all up in a building, and then he makes them think that they're having a piñata party, and he puts blindfolds over them because I guess they'd like freak out if they saw the zombies. So then they have a piñata party, and they just smash up all these zombies, and they're all filled with delicious candy. I just saw a piñata, and I was like, and there's this character that's a piñata who's just like hanging from the ceiling, and he's just hi, I see everything that's going on.
He's probably just happy that they didn't have to smash it.
Yeah.
And doesn't that make you wish the zombie apocalypse is like that if it
just
ever happens?
Candy.
Yeah,
there is always a sad character that sounds like that, like an Eeyore type, just like, or he's like over. There's like a lot of like, I feel like they do a lot of like bipolar, both sides of it. There's like depressive characters, and then there's like manic characters that are also very sad, but like that talk like, and then it's like they're just sad and have no friends.
Or the character that just sort of states the obvious right now. It's like, I'm a candy.
Yeah.
Or like, oh god, why am I like blanking on the little worm? The worms, the little worm who lives
in the island. I think
he's
just called
Mark, isn't he? No, he has a name. Worm. I can't remember it now. I'm
Eric?
Sorry.
I want no, it's not Eric.
But he comes out and he's always like, hey guys, what are you doing? Yeah, I'll remember.
Yeah, I think he's just called Worm.
He's just the Worm?
Yeah.
I swear he has a name. Maybe
they nickname him.
Yeah.
Well, there's King Worm as well.
Finn not likes King to nickname
Worm,
people.
The little one that lives in Jake's Island.
According to the Adventure Time Wiki, his name is just Worm.
All right. Well, then I guess I made it up in my head.
Don't at us.
Don't at us. Look at Wiki.
Please correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, yeah, I was saying, like, I love this show so much, and every time I watch it, I'm, like, so happy. But, yeah, I think the last couple... Or the last season, I haven't been caught up. So if there's new things that have happened. But I think the crux of the show, because now they've kind of earned their right to go bonkers and, like, follow plot. But really, like, I think if you're talking about the show and, like, what it set up, the first five, maybe six seasons have are really like the crux of like what it's about. And then they go off into crazy town.
Absolutely. Well, my yummiest episode then is, I think it's literally called The Sandwich, and it's about this epic sandwich that Jake makes, and it looks so good. It has a bird from a windowsill, the soul of a lobster, and then cream cheese on like toasted ciabatta that he like toasts with a flamethrower. So it's just like this, it truly is an epic sandwich, and then Magic Man steals it. Mm-hmm. And like, I actually, that was the one I think I was most one of the most emotionally invested in, like, truly, I was very emotionally invested in a lot of, like, the moving ones or, like, the exciting ones. But this one, I was, like, surprised that I was emotionally invested in because I was like, oh, my God, he took the sandwich. I want that sandwich so bad.
Didn't you have a cracked rant about food in cartoons? Was that yours? I remember. Or maybe this was the pitch in a writer's room. But I remember we talked about how delicious food looks in cartoons.
Yes, it looks so good. Yes, yeah. I did do a rant about food in cartoons and ones that like seem impossible to eat and then ones that look like too good.
Too good, yeah.
Like the sandwiches.
The sandwich, I love watching people make food in cartoons because it's always just like drawn in a way. Like pizza when the cheese is dripping, just all of that stuff. Sandwiches
this show, are good. This show especially, I think one of the reasons it's sort of successful is it has sort of like a Ren and Stimpy vibe sometimes where like all of a sudden they'll get super stylized and detailed with the drawing, usually in a gross way, but sometimes in a yummy way.
Yeah.
And I think that's like one of the reasons why Ren and Stimpy was so funny is like all of a sudden you're like inside someone's toenail and it's like really, really detailed for some reason.
Yeah,
they have some funny shots. I think there's a lot of what's his face? The King of Ooh, who's just, by the way, when I was rewatching episodes and I was like, oh, this has to be like a Trumpian allegory. But then I was like, this came out in 2015 where he just takes over.
I felt the same way.
It's weird because it's so, you know, when PB just like gets exiled and he's kind of taking over and he's just a smarmy dude and a populist. I'm like, this has to be, but it's not. But there's a lot of shots of him just in weird angles, like his butt. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed this. Like, they'll just show him walking into frame, but it's like his legs come in first, like very like graduate style, and then his like butt comes into frame, and then he walks across. It's like, why?
They do a lot of animated butt stuff.
Yeah, and his like butt is just shaking.
They also did that in for Cake in the first Fiona and Cake episode.
Oh, yeah.
Cake starts like drumming on her butt, or she's like, I got two tomatoes. So I think they think butts are funny, which they
butts are.
That's
funny.
That's objectively true.
Yeah, it is true.
All right, should we go on to the next award?
Hit it, Gunther.
Gunther.
Next award.
So we got our next award, which is the best celebrity cameo. The voices of Adventure Time usually have some pretty neat celebrities or comedians that you might know well. So you got to have a favorite.
Oh, yeah. Actually, this one, when I saw this on the doc, I was like, oh, man. Because I'm the kind of person who watches cartoons and pretends that they just exist like that. So whenever I find out somebody voices the character, I'm always like, oh, interesting. So that's not one thing I paid a lot of attention to. Fun fact, though, I have a friend who did a voice on it. It's just a small character. And I was like, oh, my God. It was, like, the most amazing thing connected to. But I actually was recently watching them again, and I didn't realize this, but Lena Dunham voices... what's her face? Betty, I think is.
No, really? Betty. Simon's friend.
Simon's ex. Well, friend.
Friend. I guess.
I think they
from time
dated.
They dated.
Kiss and stuff. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well then.
So I think.
I never understand. I can never keep up with relationships.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird sexual tension between a lot of the characters.
Yeah. I would never have... I mean, I was watching it the same way of just being like, that's Betty, instead of thinking about who voiced it. But that's so interesting.
My favorite is the episode Blood Under the Skin, which I think is just a really hilarious episode. And Peter Stormare does the voice of this knight. And Peter Stormare, if you don't know, he's like he's one of those that guy actors. He usually plays like Eastern European... or Russian villains or hitmen or mobsters. He's also in Armageddon as the Russian cosmonaut who's just hanging out there that they hang out with for like 20 minutes. And he's just that episode, I think, is just hilarious. And Finn is he gets a splinter at the beginning of the episode, and he needs to get some armor to cover up his splinter, and he puts a little thimble on his finger, and this knight just shows up out of nowhere with Peter Stormare's voice, and he's like, "That armor is not very."
Yeah.
And the whole episode, they're just used as like an adjective to mean cool, and I think it's the funniest thing in the world.
Which also I could totally see myself doing. I feel like I did that after a while. After watching that, I started being like, guys, that's pretty.
They do that where they'll just introduce a word in an episode and that just means something. But they like do it enough where you're like, okay. Like the, which one was it? The one where, I can't remember now. But it's like every time someone dies, they say Yabba Dabba. And the first time they do it, and they're so happy, they're like, Yabba Dabba. And then they die. And then they do it again a few times. And then you're like, okay, well, that's like a happy noise for somebody's dying.
Like, what? Like they were like, I'm ready. So, yabba dabba.
Yeah.
That's true. Some of the words are pretty great. Like, or like not even necessarily words, but sounds that are associated with meaning.
Yeah.
I would say for me, some of the best celebrity cameos, there were two that really I was torn by. I adore Maria Bamford because she does a ton of voices. The entire series. She does the witch, the donut witch. She also is the slime princess. Mm-hmm. And then she does like many, many other voices throughout the series. And I think she's just incredible. And like,
she was made for this show.
She was made for this show. The show was made for her. It's a match made in heaven, and it kills. And then I would also say Camille Nangiani as Prismo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's so good. I didn't know he played Prismo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
he's
great.
Prismo. I love his delivery because it's so like, oh, hey, guys, I could just make you a sandwich. I made the pickles myself. Like, it's just like so good.
Yeah, he's so just like gentle and matter of fact for like kind of the god of the entire universe and like the most powerful being of all time. He's just like,
it's very soothing. Yeah,
it is very soothing.
Yeah, his delivery is just so on point.
There are so many gods in the universe that are like, I like that because it's sort of like there's a lot of villains and monsters and princesses, and there's also endless gods, and they all like when you they're introduced, they're like important. Like Prisma is introduced and you're like, well, he's very important and he's all powerful. But also there's the Cosmic Owl, and the Cosmic Owl is also like kind of a god.
But they all just hang out.
They are all friends. Prismo is
definitely. They do all hang out, yeah.
Which I love. I just also like love these little weird cliques that appear throughout the like all the friends groups that happen. I mean, I guess they all kind of know each other. It feels like everybody kind of knows each other.
Yeah, when they introduce a character, it's just like a new princess. It's not a new princess. They're just like,
oh, it's you.
It's called. Yeah.
Hi, Princess Hot Dog.
I haven't seen you in a day. All right, next award. Hit it, Gunther. Best apocalyptic scenario.
Best apocalyptic scenario.
I had a hard time answering this one.
Yeah, because it's already, the whole thing is apocalyptic. I mean, all the lich stuff was real creepy.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, I think for sure, like, that was all real creepy and dark, and I love that. There was one episode which actually I couldn't, I didn't look that hard, but I couldn't find it when I was, because I remembered it, and I was like, I couldn't find it when I was scanning the episode names. But the one where, I don't think this was I Remember You. Unless now I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, is this the one? Where it's a flashback, but then there's just slime. I think it's its own episode, and it's just about slime. That cover, and it's like shortly after the apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys remember this one?
I think
I gotta look it up.
So,
they're in a truck or
slime
something.
Slime themselves? No.
No, and then slime's just taking over. I actually don't think any of the titular characters are in this. I think it follows some like random character.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That seems pretty on par for Adventure Time.
Yeah, and it's just about slime. But it's shortly after the apocalypse. It stands out in my mind, and I think that might be my favorite one because it's sort of a flashback but also its own weird thing.
Yeah, it made an imprint on your brain.
Yeah, you guys can tell me which one it is and then call me not a true fan. That's fine. I have better things to do. I got to experience the emotions to then connect to the show.
Yeah, come on.
I have to go out and get heartbroken so then I can like the show.
We can't out-fan each other, guys. It's a waste of time. All right. Do you have a?
Yeah, I was thinking like lich stuff too. There's there's sort of like a 3-episode arc in between seasons that starts with the episode called The Lich, and then there's the lich like opens some portal and basically puts the entire universe at risk. And Finn, he goes to see Prismo and he wishes that the lich never existed, but in doing so, that wish sort of undoes all of the land of Ooh. and he's a human with parents, and he has his arm is missing, and Jake is just a regular dog. And I didn't like that. Like, I wanted to be back in Adventure Time.
They do a lot of missing limbs in here because he loses his arm a few times. And I don't know if there's that something or if it's something, I feel like that's a dream. That's got to mean something in dream interpretation.
Yeah,
the losing a limb, like when you dream, you lose a limb, right?
I'm always, my teeth are always filled up.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely
out.
An anxiety one if you lose your teeth. But I wonder what arm is. But losing a limb, it must be something in a dream. But they do that a few times because there's another one where his sword arm walks away.
His grass arm, or his grass sword turns into him.
Yeah, and then he has a little stump.
Yeah, that's pretty. I think that's pretty good. Apocalypse. I would have to say, and this one, it's tough because it covers many episodes, but it's the Elements miniseries that they did in season 9, where essentially all of the princesses are overtaken by their elements, and they section off the world as they know it. In Adventure Time, and they like the slime princess just like has these like slime, everything is slimy, and there's like a party all the time, and she's like absorbing people if they impress her enough. And then like in Candyland, you know, PB, it turns into this like huge just like bubblegum goo worm, and like turns everything into candy, and like it's like super like sweet and almost like gross, and nobody likes it. And then the flame princess, she's like everybody's just fighting, they like become flames, and then they like fight each other, and
she would.
Yeah.
And then, again, spoiler alert, guys, this is what happened when you listen to this. They end up solving it because Lumpy Space Princess turns out to be the fifth. And then the Ice Princess, who came earlier, she's the one who introduced them to the elements. Her name is Patience, and then she, like, becomes the element of ice, the Ice Princess. And so that's, like, everything becomes ice wherever she is. And then the Lumpy Space Princess becomes the fifth element. And, like, solves everything. She looks like the hero, and because, like, the fifth element is lumps.
Lumps. I love LSP.
I know. And it's such a good, like, to me, it's, like, a very Adventure Time apocalypse. Like, of course, everything is, like, the elements are the problem, and the elements are fire and ice and candy and slime. And then lumps.
Lumps. Yes.
That's the next Fifth Element movie we should see with Mila Jovovich as the Lumpy Space Princess.
Lumpy Space Princess. Oh, my God, guys.
All right. We're on to our last category of the day. And it's the best song.
There's a lot to choose from.
There are a lot. Yeah, I was a little
Is this the last one? There's no best episode overall?
We're going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, that's the final award. Yet. No, this is just all the sub-awards.
You haven't listened to our podcast that hasn't come out yet?
Well, I don't work at the office anymore, so I don't get the emails.
I know. I'm sad about that, dude. I missed you. Okay, so you have a best song?
Yeah, I like the What Was Missing, which isn't my favorite episode, but it's one of my favorites, the song that they sing in it.
Is it Everything? Not Everything Stays.
It's the one where, so I'll tell you the plot of it while I look it up. But there's a thief who steals.
Oh, I'm Just Your Problem.
Yeah, maybe that's what it's called.
I have that in here too.
Or my best, yeah.
Well, they basically, this thief steals like everybody's like favorite things from like PB and Finn and Marceline and a bunch of them. I think maybe just those three. And locks them up. And to get them out, they have to sort of work together. But of course, their problems come out. Mm-hmm. And this is when Marceline and PB are still like jealous of each other because they want Finn's attention. And so they kind of get in a fight. They can't work together. But then Finn just wants them to get along, and so he sings a song, and then they all join together, and it's really sweet and really touching.
Well, there's two songs. There's one called I'm Just Your Problem and one called Best Friend, My Best Friends in the World.
I'm Just Your Problem is the one I picked, but I think your Best Friends in the World
is his. Because this one Finn starts to sing, and then they join together. I'm Just Your Problem is good, too. That's what Marceline. There's a lot of good. That's a good musical episode, because they all sort of perform their thing.
Yeah, to get through the door. They have to sing a song.
Yeah, My Best Friends in the World. That's the one where he's like, you are my best friends in the world. And then the door just opens. It's really cute.
It's a good episode for music, for sure.
Oh, I thought it was called What Am I to You? But I think it's called My Best Friend. Because they basically sing, like, What Am I to You? He likes that. Like, it's just all about their relationships and how they see each other. And, like, well, how do you see me? Like, do you hate me? Like, why? Blah, blah, blah. and then they like sing about their insecurities. It's really sweet. Do you think that I don't understand? I just wanted us together and to blaze a band. Last night was the most fun I've ever had. Even liked it when the two of you would get mad at each other.
It's a good group episode because usually you only have like Finn and Jake and then like maybe one or two other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I first started watching, I didn't realize that Finn was like a boy and PB was not an adult, but like a grown teenager. And that's why they can't be together, because in the beginning they kind of push their storyline together and he has a crush on her, but she just sees him as this like little boy. And eventually they sort of like abandon that and they just kind of become best friends. But in this song he kind of sings that like, what am I to you? Am I just like a little boy? Like, you don't take me seriously, kind of. And I'm like, oh, that's sad.
Yeah. But he voices his feelings, which I really like.
It's sweet.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah,
one?
I have a few, but I'm gonna only pick two. So I Remember You is an episode we've brought up a lot. I have a feeling we'll probably be talking about it in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's an episode that sort of precedes when we learn about Marceline and the Ice King's history. But basically she hints like, yeah, we knew each other 1,000 years ago when I was a little girl and you were a middle-aged man and you helped save me in the middle of the first apocalypse. But something happened and you forgot me. And it's just like a song about when someone you love forgets who you are.
Marceline, is it just you and me in the wreckage of the world? That must be so confusing for a little girl. And I know you're going to need me here with you, but I'm losing myself and I'm afraid you're going to lose me too.
Oh yeah, keep it going.
This magic keeps me alive.
Which, you know, this song is so, or the show is so good at putting incredible psychedelic absurdist comedy and really like heartfelt emotional stuff into a 10-minute episode. And I Remember You does that pretty well. I also like the song Good Little Girl.
Ooh, that's a good one.
/ Bad Little Boy with this is kind of in the Fiona and Cake alternate universe. And Childish Gambino, Donald Glover voices Marshall Lee.
He's so good in it.
Good little girl, always picking a fight with me. You know that I'm bad, but you're spending the night with me. What?
And that's just a really great song.
It is a really good song.
Yeah, I liked that episode a lot. And then I didn't like once it became a thing of Ice King's fan fiction world. And then I was like, for the first time you see Fiona Cake before the ending, you're like, oh, this is great. And then it becomes this world where he's writing fan fiction. And I'm like, that's gross.
Is it gross?
I guess it's
or
not.
Or is it like just
him just wanting his friends? Well, it's kind of like extra layer of him.
Yeah,
he's just being so needy and needing his friends and also making these weird storylines between them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have almost loved it if it was just an alternate universe purely as it, you know. I agree. Those are great songs. I am with you. I wrote I'm Just Your Problem, which is the song that Marceline sings right before they become friends.
Sorry, I don't treat you like a goddess. Is that what you want me to do? Sorry, I don't treat you like you're perfect, like all your little loyal subjects do. Sorry, I'm not made of sugar.
To me, I was just like drawn to it because she's like, she's like kind of angsting out.
I could see an angsty teenage Carmen.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm just your problem. Like that was my brain. And then also I would say Everything Stays, which is from episode 7, season 7. And it's the song that Marceline and her mom sing to each other.
Aww.
And then she sings just a, like, kind of introducing, like, this world of, I don't, it's just so, it's a beautiful song.
Let's go in the garden. You'll find something waiting right there where you left it, lying upside down.
Marceline's songs are all good. Well, she's a musician. There's the one where they hide in the closet and she's like practicing or whatever.
Yeah.
But so I think she writes a lot of really like good emotional songs.
Yeah.
She's like definitely the emotional field for this show a lot of the times.
So, oh, yeah.
Is it because this show attracts artistic,
moody
people? Like, is it because everyone who likes this show like had an emo phase in their life that for the most part they like? I'm not.
Yeah, well, probably. Yeah. I mean, I never was a goth, though, but I was attracted to, like, sort of the dark. I mean, we all, I think, went through a phase where, like, let's rebel.
I don't know of any teenager who was like, I was mild and happy the whole time.
Yeah, I guess there are some happy teenagers. teens. I would say a lot of people who are drawn to this show probably, not to be like, we're all abused, but like, you know, varying levels of having trauma, I think people are drawn to this show.
And I have a feeling that's what we're going to talk about in a few minutes when we get to figuring out the best episode ever. It's like, we're probably, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe. I think we're all going to suggest stuff that like has a pretty emotional core to it rather than the episodes being like, the like funniest episodes.
Don't count on it, Buster.
Oh no!
I mean, I wish this show was around when my mom was hitting me, but you know.
So, love you, Mom.
I think she listens to all my
Hi, Teresa's mom. Thank you for listening.
She does read my tweets and text me about them.
Please remember to rate and subscribe.
My parents have never read a tweet of mine ever.
Oh really?
And I'm fine.
She's
with
never
that.
Faved them. She just texts me like, "I saw this tweet." I'm like, okay, Mom.
My parents are just like, I don't get what you do. Your brother is funnier.
Oh, no. Is your brother a baby? No. It'd be funnier if it was like a baby brother.
No, he's not a baby. He's baby-faced.
Baby-faced brother. All right. I guess it's only time for the best episode ever.
Hit it. That's the time. Epic. We're each going to throw out some nominees, maybe.
Okay.
We don't have to stick to any of them. We can agree. I think we all should agree at the end. Mm-hmm. If we can. we're going to carve it into metal at the end. Yeah. So, Teresa, what do you think is the best episode ever?
I don't think a lot of people are necessarily going to think this is their favorite episode, but my favorite episode is Dungeon Train. Ooh. And that's the one episode that I always tell people about when they've never seen the show, and I'm like, use that as an example of why it's so good at being emotional, and also just like, that's a classic like fighting monsters at its base or at its like surface.
Core. Yeah.
But that's like the best breakup episode I've ever seen, because it's about, and like he breaks up with Flame Princess and he's sad, and it starts out where he's just like, something's not right. I don't hear like the voice inside my head anymore. Like, I just feel off. And Jake's like, are you basically you're like depressed and sad about your breakup. And he's like, no, I don't think that's it. And then they're like, well, let's go find this magic cave. And then instead of finding the cave, they go into this train and they fight monsters. And then he sort of like feels like his old self. But it's also about sort of coping, and I think a little bit about addiction, because he starts getting like, he can't leave because he needs to fight the monsters because it feels good. And it's sort of like helping him not have to face his emotions and process the sadness. And then eventually they look into the future and see if he stays there, they're just both going to get old, still fighting monsters and kind of stuck in it. Like, it's not that he's going to be unhappy, but it's, they just can't move forward.
Yeah.
And in order to move forward, you have to move on. And so he eventually realizes that. But instead of just leaving, too, it doesn't wrap it up nicely like a, you know, like I think a CW show or whatever would do. Instead, he's sort of like, okay, I've learned my lesson, but I want to keep fighting for like another week or two.
Aww.
So I'll see you at home.
Yeah.
And Jake's like, okay, take your time. And so I think they really deal like truthfully with just dealing with sadness. Sometimes you have to just kind of like know how to cope, do that thing, but also know how to, like, move on.
Yeah.
That's a good episode. It has some really good moments. Like, at the end, he's like, yeah, I want to stay here for, like, another 2 or 3 weeks, but I'll come off. And Jake's like, how do you know that? And they've kind of received this, like, orb that can see into the future in the middle of the episode. And he's like, look, see, in the orb, I'm not, like, we're not still on the train anymore. And they look into the orb, and they're just doing dishes
just
together. And Jake's like, yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah, it's really cute. And I like that he says 1 or 2, or whatever, a couple weeks, because it's like, that's weird, but then they're such best friends. That's like, yeah, man.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah. Keep fighting monsters and don't eat or go to the bathroom for 2 weeks. And I'll see you at home. Like, it's like, okay.
That episode has one of my favorite monsters, too, where like Jake needs a break from fighting monsters. So he climbs to the top of the train just to get some air. And there's this monster that's like this gorilla thing. And he's like, hey, gorilla, are you going to like shoot flames at me or whatever? And he just goes, meep.
Yeah.
Promise.
It's
just
anyways.
So funny. I love all that stupid stuff.
Yeah. Well, the reason I always bring that one up to people is because there's, and actually this is an interesting thing because, okay, well, I'll say the thing and then I'll explain. So I always tell people to watch it because at the end of the episode, you see that the train is just going in a circle. So it's sort of like, it's never going to end. But the first time I watched it, I didn't realize that they told you that in the beginning. Like that just for whatever reason didn't stick. So I just thought, that was a reveal. Like, whoa.
Yeah, I was the same
deep
as you.
Yeah, I was like, oh, how deep. Like, you think like you're on this path, like, you know, sometimes you're like trying to get over something, but then you get stuck, right? And you're like, well, this path feels right because I'm avoiding my problem and I could just keep going down that path. Maybe that'll lead me somewhere. But you kind of realize like, no, you're just spinning your wheels. You got to get back on the real path and like go through the pain. And so the first time I watched that, I was like, oh, wow, it's so deep. Like, they didn't know they're on a circle train. But then I rewatched it, and right in the beginning, they reveal it's a circle train. and they're like, okay, let's get on the train. But then they get on, and then Jake immediately says, maybe we can ride this to the cave. So I think it's weird. It's almost like such a small moment, but I think when they get in the train, they forget that it's not going anywhere. And I think that's on purpose.
To get sucked in.
Yeah. But and it's such a small moment, but it's a really good allegory to just like coping and sort of like depression and, you know, feeling like you're in a rut and not going anywhere.
That's so true.
But
oh my God.
Yeah.
Did you know it was a circle the first time you watched it?
No, I didn't. I was the same as you were. Yeah. I thought it was a reveal in the middle of the episode. I've only seen it. I literally watched it this morning.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't have enough time to like rewatch it and get that. But so yeah, but it definitely hits all of that stuff of like
so crazy.
Depression and also like needing to like feel the depression and like hang with it for a little bit. But then also there's like this gorilla that goes meep.
Yeah.
So it's a great show.
It's about a breakup, which I think I just tend to like breakup material. And I'm like,
yeah.
I feel you.
All right. You got a vest.
Well, continuing on breakup material, my episode that I would like to submit is called Hot to the Touch.
Oh.
PB is like, Jake, stop. Like, no more. We're done. Dunzo's for reals. And he's sad. And this is kind of the second part of a two-part episode. The episode before, he's like, Jake, you need to find me a new girlfriend. Jake goes to the Flame Kingdom and he meets Flame Princess, whatever. She comes up. But in this episode, he like meets the Flame Princess and he's in love with her.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to do anything to like have her, but everything he does hurts her and vice versa. She touches him, he gets burnt. She sets something in the treehouse on fire and he stomps it out and that hurts her because she's fire and she feels like everything that happens to fire. And the whole episode, he's just chasing after her. And maybe I just like felt this way because I'm a boy. I would like love to know what two women think are like, yeah, Jake's, or I'm sorry, Finn's a jerk in this episode. But the episode just, he's chasing after her and everything he does hurts her and vice versa. And at the end, they're just like, I'm a flame elemental. You are a water elemental. You create water because when I touch you, you cry. You create water and we will never be able to be together. And that just like hit me right in my like 14-year-old heart. I loved it.
It's like a better version of Twilight.
Yeah, it was very Twilight. That is Twilight.
Should I watch Twilight?
You'd love it.
I haven't seen the second of it. Do I like Twilight?
There's vampires in it. They glitter. I don't know.
I feel like it's interesting. You guys both got real emotional.
Yeah, we like I guess we both like the Flame Princess Finn storyline. It actually wasn't a big part of in the grand scheme of things in the plot, but I really like. Yeah, I like that relationship.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What do you got, Carmen?
I have. I felt like what the antithesis of Adventure Time is the adventure. And I was like, what to me was the most exciting adventure? Mm-hmm. So I got torn between Tree Trunks, the episode 4 of season 1, where Tree Trunks, they go to find a crystal apple, and Tree Trunks keeps kind of messing with their adventure. And then at the end, they can only get the crystal apple because Tree Trunks keeps trying to use her sensuality. and then at the end, that's what they do. She like does a dance where she's like, la da da da.
I love Tree Trunks. The voice is so good.
It's so good. And then it ends in like a really weird way where she like eats the apple and blows up, and then it just ends with like, or I think Rainy Day Daydream, which is when Jake and Finn are inside because there's a knife storm, and they try to use their imagination, and their imagination, Jake's imagination takes over and backfires, and like things become real and they start melting into the floor. It's like a crazy, it felt to me like as a kid when you are playing with somebody and you're playing like the floor is lava or something. And
it then starts it gets with
super,
that.
Yeah. And it gets super intense.
Yeah.
And then you really are like emotionally invested and like, we're like, you need to stop with the lava. Like, it's to me, I just loved it. And they still had their like adventure-y times.
That's a great one. Oh, speaking of adventure, I also, one of the runner-ups was I think it was called The Maze, but the one where Jake has to stretch himself to save the hot dog. Are they hot dogs? They're like mini.
The hot dog knights, right?
Yeah. But then he like pushes himself, and it's very yeah. that's another emotional moment, because it's sort of like they do this weird balance between like how much should you sacrifice for the people you love, and how, and also maintain like, and also like kind of like care for yourself. Like they balance that like sort of self care and sacrifice a lot, and then that's a good episode.
I'm with you. I think you've hit some really good like adventure emotion.
Mm-hmm. I'm just a sad person.
No, but I
well, I like the show.
I think yeah. I would switch over to one of your like. I would either do either of the two that you mentioned. I think your favorite. I'll go with. Ooh. I'll change
yes.
it.
Dungeon Train.
Dungeon Train.
I liked it. Yeah, Dungeon Train captures adventure.
It's super adventure. They're fighting. They're doing like they got the girl at the top who goes meep, and then and then they also have this like emotional.
Oh, there's a funny quote in that too. Oh, I wrote it down at the beginning when he's like. He's sad about Flame Princess, and then Jake goes, girls are like horses. It's important to get back on. It's important when you fall off to get back on a different horse. And then he's like, there's plenty of fish in the sea. A penny saved is a penny earned. He's just like, wait, what? But I love that because they sort of like, you could just see the writers are like making fun of how people give blanket advice when you're sad or going through a breakup. And they're like, you know, like people just love to give you like shitty advice.
Yeah.
Because they want to help and they don't know how. And it's yeah. really like the only way to get through it is to feel the pain. Like you can't really just, and people are like, you just got to get back out there. Or like they weren't the right, you'll meet the right person. And you're like, I don't want to hear it. Like I just want to feel.
A doctor a day.
Yeah.
It's the apple boy. Is that it? All right. Gavel time. Dungeon Train is the best episode of Adventure Time.
Yeah.
We figured it out.
We did yes. it.
Yes. Yay, yes. we did
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Now now that we figured this out, we are going to read a selection from Teresa's Adventure Time spec script. I'll be playing Jake, Carmen.
Finn.
I'll be stage and introducing the Donut Wizard.
And is there anything else we need to know?
No, I wrote this in college. It was a long time ago. So, you know, please don't.
Listen, yeah, understand. she wrote this in college.
My writing.
No one's very proud of anything that they did in college. And if you're too young to go to college, know that whatever you do, you'll be ashamed of in your
late 20s. Also, what a gift to share with us, you
yeah,
guys.
Thank you for opening
thank
your
you.
Heart.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, when you guys said Adventure Time, I was like, do you guys want to hear my specs?
And we were like, absolutely yes. So.
Okay, cool. So this is when Finn and Jake first meet the Donut Wizard, and they're asking him for help to cure the zombie donut holes. But they find out he's evil. All right. Jake and Finn exchange looks.
The land of donut holes has been attacked by the Noms, and we need your help.
The donut wizard sits up with a sinister look. That's right. I curse those little holes. Soon they shall eat each other alive, and there will be no more donut holes in all of Ooh. He laughs maniacally.
Hey, Finn, I don't think it was my sinuses that time.
Finn pulls out a sword and brandishes it before the wizard.
Psh. Didn't say you were an evil donut wizard. How could you be so heartless?
Fool! Do you know why I cursed them? It's because they ruined my life! Those little holes think they're so great because they're round and whole. All I ever wanted was to feel whole. But how can I feel whole with a hole as huge as mine? He points to the hole in his middle.
That's no reason to curse an entire town. Mr. Wizard, you've got to uncurse them before they destroy each other.
The donut wizard stands up angry. Never!
Ah!
Finn puts on his battle face and swings his sword.
Then I'll have no choice but to destroy you!
The donut wizard waves his wand and Finn's sword turns into an eclair.
My sword!
He falls to the floor, mourning his sword. The donut wizard towers over Finn and steps on his back. He raises his wand, about to curse him, when Jake yells out.
Wait!
He rolls himself into a ball and over to the donut wizard's side, looking up at the donut wizard with round puppy eyes. The donut wizard hesitates, his arm still raised and ready to fire.
To be whole or not to be whole? That is the question.
The donut wizard lowers his wand. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind's eye to suffer?
Let me complete you.
Dude, what are you doing?
Shh, just let it happen.
Jake reaches out an arm and puts his hand over Finn's face, silencing him. Do you really mean it?
Yeah, if you promise to lift the curse you put on those donut holes.
And you'll stay with me forever?
No, dude, like 20 minutes.
The donut wizard's face falls. 30?
5.
But you said...
Do you want to be whole or not?
Jake rolls around him, still curled into a round yellow ball. Yes, all right.
And you promise to lift the curse?
Donut Wizard groans, concedes. Fine. Meanwhile, Finn gets up from the floor, dusts himself off. The Donut Wizard sits down in his throne and gets comfortable. All right. Jake, still rolled up in a ball, hops in the wizard's hole, making him one complete donut. The Donut Wizard squirms a little. He giggles. So this is how it feels.
Dude, I'm going to wait outside.
Yay!
Yeah.
I love it. I want to see it.
Yeah, that's hey, holler at me, Adventure Time.
No, that was good
because Pendleton.
It was so simple. It's just like a donut who wanted to be whole. Yeah. Donut holes. Oh, it's great. It's,
yeah,
it
there's great. A song in it that's really dumb too, but he just sings about his hole. It's really
I love it.
Really gross and fun, but
yay. What a treat. That was truly a treat. I hope everybody enjoyed that because I sure did.
All right. Let's get out of here. That was awesome.
That was so good.
Teresa, where can we find you on the interwebs?
Ooh, you can find me on the Twitter at Larissa T. That's LeresaTee. Yeah, that's pretty much where you can find me.
You can follow this show on the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook at Best Episode Pod. Follow, rate, subscribe, do all that fancy business on Apple Podcasts.
We love the fancy business.
We love fancy business. Please send your fancy business to P.O. Box. I don't know. You can follow me on Twitter at Brett Rader.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Carmesan Cheeses.
We'll be back next week to talk about Sherlock.
Yeah.
Ooh, Sherlock.
Da-da-dun.
That's the theme song.
I don't remember it right now.
That's it. Remember, Adventure Time's best episode is Dungeon Train. Don't tell anybody anything else.
Bye.